Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text is from the epistle lesson. You may be seated. As you're getting settled in there, I would encourage you to open your hymnals to number 834. I'm going to make reference to that later in the sermon. 834. Just have that open. It'll be a bit before we get there, but written by the same author as the hymn that you just sang just a minute ago, 834. So you heard in that hymn some of these lines. From the cross thy wisdom shining breaketh forth in conquering might. From the cross forever beameth all thy bright redeeming light. But let's be honest. When you think of the cross, do you think of brightness? When you think of the cross as it first appeared in this world, at least when our Savior hung on it, Good Friday, aren't you more prone to think about darkness, gloom? And so more fitting hymn might be, O darkest woe, ye tears forth flow, or go to dark Gethsemane. Death suggests darkness. And we end our service on Good Friday, you know, remember that. It's very, very sparsely decorated in here anyway. A little bit of black here, a little bit of black there, a few candles scattered on the altar. And we end in complete darkness. But this hymn says, no, the cross is bright. The cross enlightens our darkness. The cross is our great epiphany, telling us the wonderful message that we will not be condemned. For Christ Jesus, of course, was crucified for you. The Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. The cross is the central truth of our faith that enlightens the human mind. The light of the cross shines into our world of darkness. St. Paul says in this text, I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. That is the sermon text. Nothing but Christ and his crucifixion. The light of Christ on the cross shining into a world of darkness. And our world of darkness needs light, does it not? Because there is a lot of darkness. In Paul's day, the church, guess what? In Paul's day, get this, the church was already showing signs of fracturing and infighting. Go figure. At a time when the footprints of our Lord and Savior had barely been washed off of the shores of the Sea of Galilee, at the time that they had one of the 13 apostles, the 12 Jesus originally chose, plus Matthias then, later after Judas killed himself, but then also St. Paul. He was there, and they're fighting. Churches never fight. Churches never fight. Oh, yeah, they do. So it's a divided church. They're divided against each other. You look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and you see, well, some say I'm for Paul, and some say I'm from Apollos, and some say I'm for Cephas, and some say this, and some say that. In other words, they were kind of dividing themselves in kind of a party spirit. Can we imagine not getting along? Divisions into the church. And into this cacophony of confused chaos steps St. Paul with these very simple words of our sermon text. For I desire to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. From thy cross thy wisdom shining breaketh forth in conquering might. From the cross forever beameth all thy bright redeeming light. The author of those words that we sang in this hymn just a moment ago is Dr. Martin Fronsman, who served as professor of theology at Concordia Seminary, St. Louis, in the 1950s and 60s. It's kind of interesting that he talks about darkness and light shining in it, as he was a professor during a pretty dark time in that seminary and our church's history. Ever heard of Seminex? That's the time when we had a lot of a party spirit. People divided one against the other, groups against each group, and so forth. Darkness. And this all culminated in 1974 with the walkout of most of the faculty and most of the student body of Concordia Seminary, as well as 1,100 LCMS churches leaving our denomination. Lots of hurt. Lots of heartache. Lots of disagreement. Lots of darkness. I have to wonder if it wasn't those events, and probably also the events going on in our country at the time, which was the darkness against which Dr. Franzmann wanted to confess the strong word of God shining as a light into that darkness. And what makes me wonder that even more is another hymn that Dr. Franzmann wrote. And that's why I asked you to look at 834, because that's another one of his hymns. And it has very much the character of what we just sang, Thy Strong Word. We've not sung this one very much. It has a less familiar tune, but it is also kind of a tune that's rather militant. You've heard me talk about good marriages of text and tune at different times. Just listen. O God, O Lord of heaven and earth, thy living finger never wrote that life should be an aimless mote, a deathward drift toward futile birth. Thy word met life triumphant hurled in splendor through thy broken world. Since light awoke and life began, thou hast desired thy life for man. And then you look at stanza 4. I'm not going to sing that one to you, but look at it and I'll speak it. O Spirit, who didst once restore thy church that it might be again the bringer of good news to men, breathe on thy cloven church once more. Cloven, divided. I think Dr. Franzmann was very, very deeply affected by what was going on in the church at that day. Now, we're not going to belabor the point of what was going on in the church at that day, because there's darkness that we can talk about all over the place, isn't there? Isn't that a great time and title or topic for sermon? Of course, Dr. Franzmann wrote these hymns at a time when not only was there the infighting of our own church, but there was a lot of darkness in our country. The Vietnam War. Race riots. But above it all, we seek to have the cross of Jesus Christ shine. And just like Satan could not put out that darkness on Good Friday, could not put out that light with his darkness on Good Friday, so Christ's love and Christ's forgiveness shines into our world today to lighten our darkness. The message of forgiveness won on that cross seeks to dispel the darkness of Satan, sin, and evil. Darkness in our church body. In the last 10 or so days, lots of really dark clouds have gathered right over our own district here in central Illinois, as our district president stands condemned, or accused rather, of some pretty heinous crimes. That darkness impacts the victims, of course, most of all. Pray that the light of Christ shining from the cross will shine the light of healing and hope into their darkness. But that darkness also puts a pall of darkness over our church and over all of us. And I would say over Christianity in general. Whenever the Roman Catholics were having lots of really highly publicized time of darkness for their own church, it's not as if we escaped that unscathed as Lutherans. And these are times when it is important for us, no matter what our denomination, to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, to have the brightness of that cross shining into the darkness of our world, that we would know nothing except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And of course, we've gone from synod to district, and now we have to talk about us. And I won't get into anything specific because, you know, we know that we have our times of darkness, our times of division, things where it's one against another, a group against this group, against that group, against whatever. And we've got some bit of bleakness in our outlook. Numbers are shrinking. What will become of us? Can lead us to a time of darkness. So what does it mean when St. Paul says that he was decided to know only Jesus Christ and him crucified? Well, it means to keep the cross, the crucifixion, the work of Christ central in our lives. The cross reveals everything. When St. Paul decided to know nothing but the cross of Jesus Christ and who that was crucified on it, he was shining the light of God's love into the world and into all of life. And of course, first and foremost, as that happens, we see what we'd rather not see, our sin. We see that it is our sin that participates in the darkness of sin that is in this world. You see, the darkness of Good Friday on the cross was not just simply sadness because the King of Glory actually happened to be hanging there, bleeding in a horribly painful death to pay for our sin. But it was because the darkness of all of sin in this world is true darkness. And unfortunately, we are all too willing to participate in that darkness on a very regular, tragic basis. Just as we say that it was our sins that nailed Jesus to the cross, it was the evil within us, the evil among us, that caused darkness to seem to win that day. This is when we need to remember another light. St. John starts his gospel off talking about light, talking about the Word and how it is light. And in verse 5 of John's gospel, chapter 1, he says, "The light shined into the darkness, but the darkness could not overcome it." We call Epiphany the season of light primarily because of that star and the fact that the Feast of the Epiphany is the celebration of the star and the Magi shining down upon Bethlehem where Jesus, the toddler Jesus, was living at that time just before he had to run off to Egypt. Darkness tries to get rid of light, but it can't. I know it didn't look like that on that day of darkness, Good Friday. Good Friday, the day that Jesus was crucified, the whole world was plunged into darkness from noon until 3 p.m. when Jesus announced, "It is finished." But darkness did not win. Beyond Good Friday is the brilliance of the resurrection of Easter Sunday morning, making all of the promises of the Bible come true. The very first thing that God did when he first started making the world was to declare, "Let there be light," to dispel the darkness of the chaotic Genesis days of creation. And many other places in the Bible we find mentions of light in one way or another. Psalm 18, "For it is you who light my lamp. The Lord my God lights up my darkness." And from the aged Zechariah, after his son John the Baptist was born and he gave him the name John and he was able to speak once again for the first time in a number of months, he has this as a part of a wonderful canticle of the church from Luke chapter 1. "Because of God's tender mercies, the morning light from heaven is about to break upon us to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death and to guide us into the path of peace." And now words from our Lord himself in John 12. "I have come into this world as a light so that no one who believes in me should stay in darkness." And these words were written by the evangelist Matthew in his book, chapter 4, about Jesus. "The people who sat in darkness have seen a great light, and those who lived in the land where death casts its shadow has a light shined." But then in today's gospel, you hear about our own participation in the light that is to be shining in the darkness. Towards the tail end of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says, and this is, you heard it earlier, "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." The question becomes, how can you be the light to the world? How can our church, which is practically hidden and unknown, be a light to the world? We shine the light of Christ, and we tell about the light of Christ. And shining the light of Christ means that our actions and our works are constantly being conformed as much as we can, short of getting into the mansions of heaven, to being just like Christ. Jesus says, "Let your light so shine." That means that it really does matter how we Christians act and how we Christians present ourselves to the world. And that we don't mess around in the darkness. And the power to do that comes from the Word of God and from His holy sacrament that we receive on a very regular basis. How do we shine the light of Christ into the lives of others? We're empowered by His Word and the sacrament to be kind, to show love, to stand up for people, especially people that might just be marginalized or being put down by others, maybe even because they're a little different than we are. Don't ever move beyond the cross. As if the cross was just one of many topics. Oh yeah, we talked about cross in the Bible today, so then we'll go on to something else. It is the key, the central part of the life that we live in Christ. Allow the cross to speak to all topics. Let it illuminate all things. First, let it illuminate your sin. That's painful. That's painful. You ever come home from being out in public, maybe even at work all day, and you come home and you look at yourself in the mirror and go, "Oh, have I looked like that all day?" We don't like that. But unfortunately, that's exactly what happens when we look at ourselves in the mirror of God's law and find, yeah, that's how we look. Second, let the cross illuminate God's personality. Can you see His face in the light of the cross? He's smiling at you because God loves to pour out forgiveness into your life. Third, let the cross illuminate the law. For Christ is the fulfillment of the law. Remember the first hymn today? The law of God is good and wise. Yeah, it hurts. Because as we look at ourselves, we look at the law, oh my, we're a mess. But Christ kept that law and forgives us for the times when we don't, and then gives us the power to try to live up to it as much as we possibly can. And finally, let the cross shine on your pain and suffering. For it is the cross that will give you the endurance and the patience you need to stand up in your trials of faith. These are topics that are revealed by the light of the cross shining into your life. And so we can see that it is with good reason that St. Paul says in that very simple text that we used for today's sermon, "I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified." Amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.